This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to Mindful Ramadan. And today the discussion is going to be about humility, how we can establish this humility, how we can have this beautiful characteristic that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam embodied and taught us, and how can we make it a part of our everyday life. It's a pleasure and honor to have Ustada Fusaina Muhammad with us today to discuss this very important topic. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are y'all doing?
Alhamdulillah. Very good. It's wonderful to have you here today. The discussion of humility, how important is this as a part of our Islamic identity and character?
This is extremely important. There's a hadith, the Prophet ﷺ says that a person who even has an ounce of arrogance will not enter Jannah, right? So this is a characteristic that is, I would say, mandatory for a Muslim to have, right? If one wants to be successful in this life and in the hereafter. So it's important that we understand what humility is. It's important that we understand how we can embody this, how we can grow this trait in ourselves so that we don't miss out on the rewards that we could be getting in this life.
Right. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people may not be able to identify themselves, right, as having this characteristic. It's very easy to see it and recognize it when others have it.
Yes.
And they may define, okay, I'm not a show off. Let's say I don't show off about my wealth, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm humble in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
But there may be the arrogance, like you said, the mustard seed of arrogance.
Yes.
It may come up in the fact that you're self-righteous, that I am so religious, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or
yes.
It may come up in how you treat others or your accomplishments. So how about the self-righteousness? How common is this kind of self-righteousness in our communities?
It's very common. I mean, I feel like it's almost part of human nature sometimes, right? To want to sometimes people grow their own confidence by putting other people down, right? So to think that I am so religious and to look at somebody else and think poorly of them is sometimes a mechanism people use just to bring themselves up, right? I would say a lot of people probably have this at one point or the other in their lives, right? The important thing, as you said, is to recognize it so that we can work on it, you know? For example, as you said, someone might say, well, I'm not a show-off. That's true, right? But even having those thoughts is not good, right? Even having those thoughts of looking at someone and saying, oh, I bet she doesn't do certain act of worship, or oh, I bet he doesn't even know Fatiha. Like, even having those thoughts is poisonous, right?
Yeah.
It's not good. It's bad for our hearts, right? Uh-huh. So the first thing that we want to do is we want to be able to recognize that, you know, I have some work to do in this regards. I think a good way of figuring out whether I have some work to do is asking myself, you know, when I started listening to this talk, or when I hear any sort of talk about this subject, do I think it applies to me, or do I call other people and say, hey, you should tune in and listen to this?
Right. That's a good litmus test. Are you
yes.
personalizing the message and feeling maybe I can learn from this, maybe I can improve, and that reflection or the introspection that I could become better is very critical.
Yes, right. Yes. You know, and we're not saying that anybody is perfect. Nobody's perfect, right? Which is why anytime we hear a reminder, we want to sit and listen and see, what can I gain from this, right? There must be something here for me. Allah put this in my path for some reason, right? So, and the reason is not just so that I can go and tell someone else, or I can forward it on WhatsApp to someone else. It's really meant to be something for me as well, right? There, you can always learn something. You can always be improving in some way, shape, or form. So the first thing is, whenever we hear a reminder, we try to think to ourselves, this is for me. This is a message for me, right? Ignore everybody else and personalize it, as you said. When we first start out.
Right. And becoming aware of the judgment that it is, I feel, is very prevalent. It is human nature, but we have to make that conscious, or we have to be mindful not to have the judgment. We have the checklist, right? And people, you know, maybe the more conservatives will look at someone who is very liberal. Oh my goodness, they have this kind of hijab, or they're wearing this. And you go through that checklist, and it could be the other way around. And we really have to cut out the judgment. And, you know, in my profession, I've had to really hone in on not having any judgment, because if a person feels like I'm judging them, then healing cannot start, right? So being in tune with not judging the other person, I think, is so critical. And because even if you think it, you may not say a word, but if you are thinking that this person is whatever you're, what's going through your mind, it seeps through. So like you said, it's not even correct to have those thoughts of the self-righteousness.
Very true. And, you know, one thing you mentioned is sometimes, especially the more conservative or those who feel they're more religious, we have a checklist, right? Where we're like, okay, hijab, check, you know, beard, check, you know,
long enough.
Exactly. Right. The funny thing is that this checklist is not in the Quran or Sunnah, right? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, "At-taqwa hahuna," and he points to his chest, right? Like God consciousness is in your chest. You can't see it, right? It is not measured by, you know, how much hijab a person is wearing or how black their abaya is or whatever it is, right? So if we remind ourselves of that, then hopefully it can help us move away from this checklist and see that everybody we meet is somebody who we can learn from, we can benefit from, and hopefully they'll also learn and benefit from us. I also like what you just said about you can't help someone who feels that you are judging them. And that is true, not just, you know, because you're a counselor, but also in general, right? If I go to the masjid and I see a sister who maybe she needs help, right? If I go over to her and I say, who taught you to wear your hijab that way? The conversation's going to end right there. So that's a good principle. I'm so glad you said that, because at the end of the day, we must want what's best for other people. Absolutely. And we can't help someone who we are looking down on.
So in the form of giving dawah, like giving advice, the humility is everything, because it's interesting that you mentioned this about the hijab, because when I was starting off, I didn't used to wear the hijab properly. It was just, you know, around my neck. And one of the sisters, she's a convert, in a beautiful way, she said, "I like to get my hijab very large so I can cover this area." And at that moment, I made a decision. I'm like, I'm going to do that from now on. She didn't criticize. She didn't say, like, "What's wrong with you? This is all wrong." And it was out of humility, and it penetrated my heart. So we really have to, when giving advice, it has to be from a place of humility, not in a place, "I'm better, you're wrong, I'm right, let me correct you," because it will not. And many people do this with their families, right? As they become religious, and then they're just like, you know, "You're all, you need to change everything." So that humility plays a big role.
Yes, very much so. You know, and if we look at the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right, he would seek advice from his companions. He's the Prophet, right? If he said, "I don't want to listen to any of you, don't tell me what to do," he's the Prophet. He could, but he never did that, right? An example that I love so much is the example of when the companions had wanted to go for Hajj and they were stopped from going for Hajj. And the Prophet goes to his wife, Salama, and asks her advice, "What should I do? You know, they're not listening to me. Everybody's kind of, they're distraught, they're distressed. I told them, you know, let's go ahead and sacrifice our animals and let's get ready and go home. And they're not moving," right? And he went and asked her, "What advice do you have? What should I do?" Right? And that's also a sign of humility, right? That one is not embarrassed to seek advice from others, right? One is not. And this is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? He doesn't have to ask anybody's advice. He's the Prophet, right? If there's anyone, like you said, if there's someone in a family who thinks I am the head and I can give advice, but I don't take advice,
right?
How can we think that we have that right when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't even do that?
Allah, alayhi salam. And that humility is so critical in relationships, right? So I'm glad that you bring up the story, the marital relationship, right? Because if I've worked with many people who may have humility in the community, at the masjid, they're humble in their worship, but then when it comes to their relationships, they're a tyrant, right? And that pride really seeps in when we are in a conflict with someone, that I'm like, I'm too good to apologize, I'm too good, why should I make this effort? So we have to incorporate this humility in every aspect of our life. So to make sure that it's really genuine. In what other ways do you feel that humility plays a role as far as our progress, our spiritual ascension?
What I feel, as we've been saying, if someone has humility, it allows them to grow spiritually, right? There was a very lovely paragraph that I've been reading. We've been studying the names of Allah. And there was a paragraph that the scholar had written about learning. And the scholar had said that a person destroys themselves basically when they choose to stop learning because they think, I'm too good to sit in this circle. This is a big deal, especially for people who feel like I'm religious, right? So they think, oh, this community halaqah is beneath me, you know, or, oh, this YouTube lecture is beneath me. You know, I need to be sitting with the big books and, you know, with a sheikh with a big beard and having one-on-one attention, right? And we start to think that common circles of knowledge that are being you know, attended by just the regular amwamun nas, the community, we start to think these are beneath us, right? So the scholar wrote that once a person gets to that point, they have destroyed themselves and they have allowed their arrogance to dictate to them that they are perfect. This is a problem, right? So that's the first, honestly, that's the biggest issue with lack of humility, that if we don't have humility, we cut ourselves off from being able to learn and improve.
Recognizing the fact that there are flaws that we have, there are things we can learn, and then it stops the growth. So what a destructive path to take. There's a Persian proverb that says, a tree that bears the most fruits hangs his head low, right? You see that those who are truly knowledgeable, and you see some of the scholars and those who are really accomplished, they really have genuine humility, because we've got the fake humility, right? And then the ones that they keep verbalizing how, you know, there are some people, I sometimes you hear that I am no one, I have nothing to offer, who am I? And it's a little bit like exaggerated.
Yes, very much so.
Genuine humility is like you see it in those individuals who are truly accomplished, and they don't have anything to boast. Not that they don't have anything to boast about, they don't boast about it. Versus someone who has very little accomplishment, and then they feel very proud of that, and they're always talking about it.
Yeah, that's true. Our teachers always used to, just like you said with the fruit, you can tell which person has the most fruit by how much they talk about their fruit, and same thing our teachers always used to tell us, that when you see someone who's spouting all the knowledge that they know, realize that this is all the stuff that, like, everything they know, they've told you in these 5 minutes, but a person who knows a lot, it doesn't brag about it as much. That's a lot to keep us humble.
And what about some of the, you know, there are some people, so we talked about the self-righteousness, we talked about people that they may have some fake humility, but there's also some people who really in our communities, and especially with a lot of women, they may lack a sense of self-esteem, and they may have, you know, the imposter syndrome and feeling like they're never good enough, and that, what are your reflections on that?
This is very important point to bring up, right? Because we don't understand sometimes what is the definition of humility, right? Humility is not the opposite of confidence, for example, right? I think it's important for every person sit down and make a list of these are my strengths and these are my areas of improvement, and be honest with yourself, right? So imagine that you have somebody who's gotten a degree in some subject, right? I don't know. Let's just say medicine, right? Somebody's gotten a degree, they're a doctor, and then they come across somebody who needs medical attention and they're like, oh, I'm nobody, I can't do anything. Well, the person needs help, right? And this,
it doesn't serve anyone.
Yeah, it doesn't serve anyone to sit there saying, oh, I'm nobody, or worse, to sit there and like start debating, should I tell them I'm a doctor? Oh, what if I'm bragging? Oh, am I doing this? Like, if you sit there, you know, kind of second guessing yourself, then again, it doesn't serve anybody, right? Mm-hmm. And I've given a very extreme example, right? An emergency situation, but sometimes people don't realize that even in what one might not consider an emergency, there's still a space, right? So an example, let's say there's a sister in the community who has studied maybe Quran or something like that, and they see that the community doesn't have a Quran teacher, mm-hmm. right? And this sister says, you know what, it would be great to start a class, right? Mm-hmm. Teach people to read Quran, grow a love of the Quran. But then she starts to second guess herself. Oh, but you know, do I know enough? And oh, I'll have to put my credentials on the flyer so that people know I'm qualified to do this. But maybe now I'm bragging. Everybody's going to know that I memorized or I have these mm-hmm. ijazas, or, you know, so there's this weird back and forth where we stop ourselves from helping in the community because right. we're afraid that we're being arrogant.
Right.
Right. And again, we go to the Quran for the answer, right? So we see in Surah Yusuf, we see Yusuf alayhi salam, who mm-hmm. at the point we're coming into in the story, he's in prison and he has interpreted the dream mm-hmm. of Al-Aziz, of the leader, right? And he has interpreted that they're going to have a famine and they're basically, you know, their food situation mm-hmm. for the next few years. So when Yusuf alayhi salam finally meets with Al-Aziz, he tells Al-Aziz himself, make me in charge of the food, right? Mm-hmm. Basically, make me a minister, put me in charge of the food, right? So first of all, nobody offered him the position, right? Yusuf alayhi salam, he requests the position, right? Wow. So first of all, he says, let me be in charge. Mm-hmm. And then he provides his resume, his credentials. He says, inni hafidhun alim, right? I am trustworthy and I'm knowledgeable, mm-hmm. right? He doesn't mince his words because he sees that people need my help right now, right? Wow. Instead of sitting back and saying, no, I'm afraid I'm bragging, I'll let somebody else do it. If that somebody else who steps up is not qualified, our teachers, whenever they taught us this verse, mm-hmm. they would tell us that if you sit back and let someone who's not qualified do the action,
right,
and they mess it up, that's on you,
right? That's an important point, right?
It is, right? And I always like to give the example of the doctor because I feel like people, you know, encompass that better, right? Imagine that, again, you know, the doctor's like, no, I can't do it. So some random person shows up and says, well, I'll cut him open. I'll give it a try, right?
Right, right.
And they mess the person up.
They're going to be held accountable for not stepping up. Mm-hmm. And that's where, and I'll define the imposter syndrome, is where a person feels like maybe they're not good enough, or they're not qualified enough, and who am I to help, or who am I to teach? And it's very, and I, you know, I remember maybe about 20 years ago or so, maybe 17, 18 years ago, I had this feeling I wanted to just be a student. I wanted to just continue being, I love being a student. I'm going to be a student for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. And I love that feeling of learning from an instructor. And my teacher at the time, Quran teacher, Dr. Hanat Gamal, mm-hmm. I had moved to Dubai. And she said, you need to teach. I said, no, I'm not a teacher. Who am I? And exactly, I had that imposter syndrome. Mm-hmm. I said, I can't. And she said something that really resonated, and she said, if you do not give the zakat al-ilm, and if you don't share what you know, Allah will take that knowledge away. And I got scared. I said, you know, you don't want that to go away. But I remember distinctly feeling like, who am I to teach? Why am I gonna? And so we really have to balance that out, where you have the, you know, you have to have the qualification, you have to have, you know, the knowledge, but you don't want to step away from that opportunity because you feel like you're not good enough.
Yes, yes, exactly. And I really like that you give the example of your teacher encouraging you, because that is one way to combat imposter syndrome, is to ask a teacher, let's say you don't know whether you should teach something. Am I qualified to teach this? Right. Ask your teacher, right? They know you the best. They saw you through your student journey. So say, you know, am I qualified to teach this? Here's the curriculum I wanted to do. What advice do you have for me? And then take the teacher's advice, right? Maybe the teacher might tweak it a little bit or say, you know, start off doing this, but don't completely shut down and say, okay, no, I won't do this at all, right? And we see the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, right? His teacher was Jibreel alayhi salam, who came and brought him the Quran, right? And then what do we see in the Quran? We see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, قُمْ فَأَنذِرْ, right? Get up and warn people, right? So this is his permission to go out and start telling people. And we know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had a difficult time, right? But he has this encouragement from Allah. He has this encouragement from Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, right? When he came to her after receiving the first revelation and she told him, no, you're not crazy. You know, you have all these great characteristics. Allah would never, ever, you know, humiliate you, right? So he was not sure if, am I going crazy or am I really receiving some sort of divine miracle? And, you know, she was there for him. So that's the other thing, is to lean on our teachers, our family members, our mentors, those people who sincerely have our best interests in heart.
Right.
And ask them. And if they say you're ready to go, yalla bismillah, go ahead.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a great way to get the feedback. Yes. From your mentors and your scholars. And as far as how to develop this humility. Let's say someone is listening to this and maybe they took heed, alhamdulillah, they're not saying this is for someone else. They're personalizing the message and thinking, you know what, maybe this is an area. Maybe I have been a little bit self-righteous or I have had this fake humility. What can I practically do in order to develop this characteristic?
Yeah. I think one thing that has worked for me personally in this regard is being very aware of two things. One is my internal dialogue, right? So all of us, thoughts just go through our minds all the time, right? Sometimes we're so used to looking at someone and saying, ugh, what is she wearing? That we don't even realize we thought that, right? So the first thing is to try and catch ourselves when we think that and admonish ourselves, right? So say, well, that wasn't very nice. That wasn't kind. You know, why are you judging her, right? So admonish yourself, right? Hold yourself accountable. Try to get a hold of that internal dialogue that goes through our brains. The second thing is look at who you're surrounding yourself with, right? Some people, unfortunately, amplify that. And some people bring you back down, right? Yeah. So my sister, for example, is very good at the bringing back down thing. You know, she's, yes. You know, one trait that she has that I really wish I could grow, subhanAllah, is she always finds something to compliment somebody about.
MashaAllah.
Always.
This is your and it doesn't, sister.
Yes. Alhamdulillah. I mean, both of them, mashaAllah, have qualities that I enjoy and wish I had. But she especially, like, I'll see someone and I wouldn't even think twice about that person. And my sister will stop and just be like, oh, hey, Sarah, I really like your nail polish. That's so pretty. Or I love your earrings. Or, oh, these are such great looking. I love your top. Like, she'll find something to compliment the person on, right? And I'm always thinking, subhanAllah, like, this person, she can make friends anywhere.
MashaAllah. And that spreading that, the positive vibes, because it does have a ripple effect when you can put a smile, because smiling, first of all, is charity. And then when you can make someone else, you brighten someone else's day, that's incredible. It's so heavy on the scale. So developing these characteristics and making us more and more like the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because we emulate him. A lot of times where there's a lot of focus and motivation in emulating him in his worship, which is critical. It is definitely essential for us to do that. But when it comes to emulating his character, many times we fall short where we're not embodying his characteristics and the way he went about dealing with people. So inshallah, through these series, we can be more mindful about our own character and embodying this, inshallah.
I mean,
Any parting words as far as the role of humility and how this will get us closer to Allah?
Honestly, I think at the end of the day, it's just something that as we continue to evolve and we grow, we're going to continue making mistakes in this as well. And I think that's something to end with, right? We've talked about how to improve. We've talked about the signs. But one thing that I want to remind everyone is as we're trying to improve, we're going to have setbacks, right? We shouldn't think of that as the end all be all, that I failed, I'm an arrogant person, I'm a terrible person, but rather remember that anytime we fall down, we're just going to go ahead, stand up, dust ourselves off, and we're going to keep moving forward.
A very important message, extremely important, because we will make mistakes, we will fall short, but it's about getting back on track. And one of the lessons that I teach on the Mindful Hearts Academy, it's about like developing women's characteristics and helping them to be the best version of themselves. Mm-hmm. One phrase it's been very helpful. Okay, so you say, even though... Okay. Mm-hmm. And you say, even though I boasted, even though I fell short, even though I didn't finish the amount of Quran that I was going to read, I still love and respect myself. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that is a very powerful way, because sometimes we beat ourselves up, right? We're just like, oh, I didn't finish. I didn't do my work, or I didn't finish this, or I did this again. And we beat ourselves up, and that doesn't help us in the progress. Mm-hmm. So when you say, you know, even though I messed up, I still love and respect myself, then it gives you that strength to carry on. So that's inshallah beautiful. That we can continue building our character and being gentle and compassionate to ourselves, inshallah. Jazakallah khairan for your beautiful perspective. We benefited greatly. And inshallah that we can all have more humility, whether it is in our worship, whether it's in how we deal with people, not having judgment, or even in giving advice, that we implement this level of humility, inshallah.
Inshallah. Ameen.
Jazakallah khairan for coming on. And thank you for... Bum 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 b